Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to Uniparts India Limited Q1 FY25 earnings conference call hosted by Go India Advisors. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during the conference call, please signal an operator by pressing the star, then zero on your touch-tone phone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. I now hand the conference over to Ms. Sonali Jain. I hand the conference over to Ms. Sonali Jain from Go India Advisors. Thank you, and over to you, ma'am.
Yeah, thank you, Steve. Good evening, everyone, and welcome to Q1 FY25 earnings call of Uniparts India Limited. We have on the call Mr. Paramjit Soni, Promoter, Executive Director, and Vice Chairman, and Mr. Vivek Maheshwari, Vice President, Financial Planning and Analysis, and Investor Relations. We must remind you that the discussion on today's call may include certain forward-looking statements and must be therefore viewed in conjunction with the risk that the company faces. I will now request Mr. Paramjit to take us through the financials and the business updates, subsequent to which we will open the floor for questions and answers. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Thank you, Sonali. Good evening, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to the Q1 FY25 earnings call of Uniparts India Limited. We sincerely hope that all of you are doing very well. Prior to getting into the summary of the reported quarter, I would like to reiterate that the core of our organizational functioning is guided by the principles of passion, innovation, integrity, excellence, and teamwork. A wonderful team of committed professionals has enabled Uniparts to be a partner of choice for global off-highway vehicles market. We at Uniparts believe that by leveraging our engineering competencies and a global delivery model, we are proudly partaking in building the world and feeding its people. Further, through our off-highway focus, well-positioned product offerings, marquee customer portfolio, and a robust global business model, Uniparts is well-positioned to cater to the long-term trends of food security prioritization as well as infrastructure build-out and modernization. With the above backdrop, let me spend the next few minutes sharing thoughts with respect to the current operating environments and business highlights. There are some early signals of slowdown in U.S. construction equipment end market. Europe, as alluded earlier as well, is also witnessing softness in construction equipment end market. As indicated during last quarterly call, the slowdown in large agriculture in the U.S. and Europe is hurting overall short-term demand with some element of inventory correction. However, this is also throwing some new opportunities for established players like Uniparts, which we are working on. Small agricultural equipment on a reduced base of FY24 looks steady in terms of demand in the near term and being observed for any further signals. Aftermarket, which overall declined 30% for Uniparts in FY24 owing to dual impact of softness aggravated by inventory correction, is bouncing back gradually as inventory correction cycle appears to be over for now, and that part of the demand is seemingly coming back. India domestic tractor market is looking steady after the softness in previous fiscal year. Midterm expectations for now are more linked to the monsoon 2024 performance and the festive season demand. New awards pipeline remains encouraging with added traction in all product verticals, including PMP, large agricultural equipment assemblies, agricultural machinery in India, high horsepower 3PL, as well as further geographical expansion in below 70 horsepower tractors. End market softness may have some bearing on implementation timelines. Additional focus on operational efficiencies continues. Company's business continues to generate healthy cash flows, lending further strength to the balance sheet. The company has also been making meaningful strides in its CSR as well as sustainability initiatives. We believe that our initiatives will go a long way in generating positive impact on society and environment in which we operate. Our focus on safety, quality, delivery, and cost remains high, and we continue investing for the long-term growth. With this, I would like to hand over to Vivek Maheshwari to discuss the details of our financial performance during the quarter. Over to you, Vivek.
Thank you, sir. Good evening, all. I would like to share following financial and business highlights of the quarter ending 30th June 2024. Revenue from operation for Q1 came in at INR 261 crore, which is a quarter-on-quarter change of minus 9.9% and a year-on-year change of approximately minus 12%. Reported EBITDA for Q1 was INR 46 crore, which is a quarter-on-quarter change of minus 10.6% and year-on-year change of minus 23.6%, while reported EBITDA margin was at 17.6% for the quarter. Operating cash flow generation for the quarter was approximately 50 crore rupees. This is a result of consistent working capital performance and healthy profitability despite decline in revenue. The net working capital, comprising of three core elements of inventory, accounts receivable and accounts payable, as number of days of trailing 12 months revenue from operations, stood at approximately 150 days as on 30th June 2024. Net working capital during the quarter decreased by approximately 19 crores. Unipart's balance sheet continues to be net debt free, with group net cash position at approximately 154 crore at the end of June 2024. Cash outgo towards capex commitment during the quarter has been approximately INR 8.3 crores. The board has declared first interim dividend for fiscal 24-25 of rupees 6.75 per share, totaling to approximately INR 30.5 crore payout to the shareholders. Inflationary pressure on operating costs remains in the medium term to be partially mitigated through operating efficiencies. Macro concerns over global economic slowdown, geopolitical uncertainties, and impact of worldwide high rates continues to remain a key monitorable. With this summary, I would like to hand the conference back to the moderator for question and answer session. Thank you very much.
Thank you. We will now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one on their touchtone telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and two. Participants are requested to use handset while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. The first question is from the line of Chetan Hora from Abyssus Asset Manager. Please go ahead.
Hi. Good evening, sir. Sir, I wanted to understand, so what's the outlook for FY25, wherein we are saying that inventory correction is largely over, but we are seeing the softness in demand for across Euro, US, Europe and India to be steady. So how do we see the, you know, FY25 as a for the full year, sir?
Hi, Chetan. Thank you for the question. Given the current situation where we're looking at, Chetan, with the inventory correction got over in the aftermarket, but because of the large ag equipment seeing a significant slowdown now, we are seeing not just the inventory, the slowdown there, but also the inventory correction in that segment. So based on that, I would think that the full outlook would be more flattish for this year. I expect maybe quarter two to be sequentially flat, and the half two probably, the second half would be, you know, higher than half one, and with quarter four, I expect to have the highest run rate. So that's where I'm looking at it.
Okay. And you said, you know, the inventory correction is over on the replacement side, and it's still to be seen in the other part of the segment. So can you quantify what percentage of revenue that would be, sir?
The aftermarket has been about 16-17% of our revenue, and that has already started seeing the growth. So you see, compared to last year, that segment has already started to see the growth. And also over there, Chetan, if you remember, we had taken on a new customer account with a large distribution in the U.S., and that is also doing extremely well. So overall, that segment seems to be performing.
Right. So you mean to say that 85% of the business is still reeling under the pressure of inventory correction as well as the softness in the demand from the end user. Is it right?
No, that is not right to assume. Only the large ag is going through the inventory correction. I think the construction, you're seeing some early cycles, so you may see some inventory correction come over there. The small agricultural tractor, I don't think there's any inventory correction. There is a bit flattish at this time. I think, and relative to the FY24, obviously you have the inventory correction in that year, so you're seeing growth over there a little bit. So technically, aftermarket is out of it. India is, which is another 15-16%, India is flat. Small ag is seeing a slight growth because it was a low base, which is another about 28-29% of our business. The large ag is seeing a decline, and the construction equipment is just beginning to see it. So it's not, you can't just totally classify 15% and 85%. I think there are more segmentations over there.
Yes, sir. I was trying to decipher that only. So you are saying that replacement 16%. So what percentage of the revenue is still undergoing the inventory correction?
Right now only the large ag is going through the inventory correction, which is... Vivek, you have the exact number. So the large ag, I think it's about 20%, right?
Yeah, it's close to 20%, but because of the weakness, it has declined to about 17% in the quarter. But yeah, approximately 20% in
large ag, and we are seeing some signs that inventory correction is being seen in the construction also. That's what you said.
Yes, for construction, I think we still have to see it. Construction is, the slowdown is in its early cycle, its early signals. I do expect it will come, Chetan, at some point. Okay?
And construction is close to 35% of the revenue. Is it right?
Yes, 37.
Yeah, construction. Yeah, that is correct. About 35%.
Right.
So.
All right. Sir, and how do we see the profitability as we would be seeing a flattish year? And... the margins also have become to almost 16%, which I consider in excluding other income. So, what should be the margin range, you know, the profitable level by the end of this year for the full year? I'm not asking on a quarter or quarter basis, but for the full year, where do we see ourselves?
Chetan, on the margins, I'm looking at still managing to get, okay, I've done it with the other income together, but you can just slightly discount that, but 18% is what I'm looking at for this full year. But my longer term trend on the 20% margin remains, because right now it's basically the operating leverage causes an issue as when the volumes are down.
Okay, and by when, sir, we should be in a position to see, you know, okay, the things have started by, what should be the indicator?
There are, like I said before, we operate in multiple sectors, so there are multiple indicators. So to me, frankly, Chetan, if you see, if the interest rate decrease starts coming in, which, let's say, looks... It's difficult to, like, I can't predict what the Fed will do, but I think it's looking like some of that will happen. If that happens, then I do expect that will be your early signal that within one or two, three quarters, you will see the small ag equipment start rising, which used to be our core. So you've already seen that we've been suffering with it for like 1.5-2 years now. And all the inventory, everything is cycled out of the system. The moment the interest rates start coming down, you will start see all this pipeline fill in, and then at that stage all the pipeline fills in because all dealer inventories are also gone now. So I think interest rates are going to impact not just that. I also believe interest rates are going to impact your home building and hence the smaller construction equipment. So I do expect, frankly, at this stage that the large ag, the commodity prices for agriculture, like corn and soybeans and all that, and the global stocks, I think those are at a situation where the commodity prices are low and farm income is going to be a little stretched. So I don't see the serious farmer buying large equipment at least for about a year, because this cycle will play through for the moment. But I do expect interest rates to kind of start showing up something on the small ag and the small construction equipment. And aftermarket has already come out in any case. So that's how I see it.
Okay. Yeah, thank you. Thank you so much.
Thank you. Before we take the next question, we would like to remind participants that you may press star and one to ask a question. The next question is from the line of Nikunj Doshi from Bay Capital. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi, good evening. I've been following this company since listing, and perhaps each time I've heard a call, and the listening to your call just reminds me of a famous dialogue from Damini movie, Tariq Pe Tariq. So I really can't understand why management is not able to give proper guidance to the investors. I mean, last year you were saying FY25 will bounce back. Now you are saying the construction slowdown, interest rate, all these were factors perhaps could have been known. And now you are saying 16% of replacement is only, which is going through inventory correction, which has had gone through inventory correction. And still we are seeing such a great decline in turnover. So I don't know if management is guiding properly to the investors or not. Thanks.
I appreciate the question. All I can say to you is we are trying to guide the best to the best of our abilities. I wish I had a crystal ball which would tell me more than what I have, but the changes in the markets are significantly more volatile. I think you just have to look at what our big, large end customers are doing and what they are saying as well. If you look at what John Deere and Caterpillar are doing, which are our major customers, till about 6 months ago, they were not predicting such a significant decline in the large ag. And look at the decline that you are now seeing over there. So I think our ability of providing you guidance is based on what we see in the market and what our customers, our major customers are telling us. Clearly, we are processing the data, we look at it, and we basically try to do the best we can. And at the end of the day, we are also trying, not just during this time, you know, to address this and maintain our bottom lines, but at the same time address new business as well. So I think, I'm sorry you feel that way, but all I can say is we're doing our best at it.
All the best. Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Ronak Mehta from JM Financial. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi. Thank you for the opportunity. Paranjit, I have two questions. One is on the cyclicality. So given that both your segments, both construction equipment as well as farm segment is exposed to cyclicality, generally we have seen in case of other companies in the coding space who have been historically exposed to cyclicality, they have developed new products over time, they have entered into new segments to reduce that cyclicality, and that's how they have grown ahead of the industry as well. So what are your thoughts on that, and any plans or anything that you're working on currently from the medium to longer term perspective that can help you reduce the cyclicality in the business or to grow faster, be it by way of new customers, new products, anything on that?
Okay, cyclicality, I think because I'm in the ag and construction market and we're trying to remain in the off-highway vehicle, I think cyclicality we will be exposed to. But what we are really doing is expanding our product platforms. So we are actively working. You know that we have the PMP product platform and the three-point linkage platform. We've stated in the past that we are going to be looking at the PTO hydraulic and the fabrication platform. So we are working on some significant things over there, which hopefully creates, you know, gives the third platform for growth soon. At the same time, we are also, frankly, executing another leg or at the beginning stages of looking at it. We've talked about our global delivery model, and hence, consequently, we had this ability to manage the, you know, the offshoring and onshoring as well in the U.S. But we are now seeing a shift a lot in nearshoring, where Mexico is becoming important. So we are exploring opportunities there as well, and we are in discussions with customers for some nice opportunities there. So to answer your question, cyclicality, I don't think I'll be able to overcome, but will I de-risk the business further and get growth with further platforms and further growth and add more strategic elements to our business? That will happen.
Yeah. So any timeline on the orders or the development that you talked about at the time of IPO with respect to PTO or hydraulic cylinders, either by way of acquisition or customer addition, new orders, anything on that? Or is there any timeline with respect to product development in these areas?
So the new business award pipeline continues to be strong. So on the greater than 70 horsepower platform, I think we've continued to keep doing better. The geographical expansion also on the below 70 horsepower continues. We've expanded more and more in South Korea as well now. On the PMP side, I think we've taken on the aftermarket side, we took on those new customers, and I think our growth continues over there. In terms of the other platforms, there is some, we are working on some acquisitions, but it's a little early for me to give you a timeline on that, though I can let you know we are working on a few opportunities at this stage.
Sure. And one last question on the bookkeeping question. So what is the CAPEX outlook for FY25 and 26? That would be my last question.
I think the CAPEX outlook is going to be between 35 to 40 crores. This quarter was about 8 crores or so. I'm not seeing much because right now, obviously, with a depressed market, we have the capacity just now. So the CAPEX is only happening on certain specific new projects which we are implementing where you need some specific equipment. But other than that, I think the CAPEX is not going to be large in this year. So the cash flow generations are going to be significant.
Okay. Thank you. Thank you so much.
Thank you. Participants who wish to ask a question may press star and one. The next question is from the line of Mithun Lathia from Factual Capital Investments. Please go ahead.
Good afternoon, sir. Just wanted to understand, you know, we've been working.
Mithun, sir, sorry to interrupt. Your voice is coming very low.
Is this better now?
Yes, sir. Far better. Thank you.
Yeah. So I just want to understand if you've been able to get any breakthroughs in terms of either a product or a customer. You mentioned you were trying to beat the cyclicality, but, you know, just to understand timelines of when, you know, that crossover might come. Is there a meaningful new customer or new product on the horizon that would help us overcome that cyclicality in this year and the rest of this year?
To me, it's a little early for me to comment. All I can say to you is I'm working on it, but I'm not able to comment beyond that at this stage for you, but we're working very hard at it is all I'll say to you at this stage. All right. I think the team is doing a certain job and let's see what comes out of it. But to me, rest assured, we're doing our very best on it. And I think in any case, by quarter four, like I said, the markets will also turn around. But before then, I'm trying to see if I can get something done. But again, you know, we have a lot of opportunities that we are working with on customers. You know, when the market slows down, in any case, that raises opportunity. So there are a few new good projects that we have in the pipeline now. And we are working on all the execution timelines. But some of these execution timelines are not within this year. They will be for the next year on the new award business. So, but the opportunities that we are working on will clearly give us a lot of growth go forward and set the platform for it. So will anything happen dramatic in this year? The answer is no. But I do expect quarter four to be, you know, where you will see the turnaround now.
Okay.
Understood, sir. Specifically, what I was sort of trying to understand is we had some new product development on the large ag market, right? So have we seen any traction building there?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. We've seen some nice awards over there. So that continues. I think we've taken some nice awards in Europe on that. And if you remember, the large tractor market predominantly was Europe. And so we've taken some nice things over there. So clearly, and then also on some very large agricultural equipment, on some big planters and big seeding machines, we've got some nice awards on some new projects over there. So I think the new award and the strategy of getting into those different verticals, I think that continues nicely. And even the geographical expansion on the below 70 horsepower, that was part of the strategy. So we've made some new inroads with some new customers in South Korea as well.
Okay. And existing customers which are not being sort of to the full potential on the construction equipment side, on the precision parts, is that something that we can look forward to again closer to Q4, or that is a bit more far out than this year?
I think with existing customers, a lot of opportunities. Like I said, construction also is going to look at a little bit of a slowdown coming just now. But we are working on a near-shoring strategy solution in Mexico. I think as that comes in, we are working in negotiations for some large awards for setting that up over there. A lot of the U.S. producers are looking to shift there. I think it's public knowledge that Bobcat is going to move some plants to Mexico. Deere is also trying to move some plants to Mexico as well. And so you will see a certain shift on this happen. Caterpillar has also indicated the same. So we are working on some large projects with these existing customers and setting up a solution to service them in Mexico.
But setting up the facility and sort of...
I think it's going to be a service. It's more a service facility first. The production will still come from India.
Okay. Okay. So that revenue could materialize within this fiscal?
Not this fiscal, but a lot of these projects are scheduled to start from January 2026. So those are a little bit more longer term. So nothing in this year.
Understood.
That opportunity is a larger opportunity. So that's more medium term.
Understood, sir. Thank you very much for that. Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Jyoti Singh from Arihant Capital Markets Limited. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thank you for the opportunity. So just on a broader manner, if you can highlight, as we have major revenue coming from the America and Europe, and most of the OEM is seeing mostly issue on this to America and Europe. And you also mentioned that from the client side, we were not expecting earlier 6 months, but now we are facing issue. So what are expectations going forward? I know we cannot exact quantify, but still how much order we are getting from the OEM? It is aggressive or it is a steady manner? And what are you going forward?
I think I alluded to some of that already where I said, the large ag is seeing a reduction. So if you look at the commentary that large major customers are giving, they're talking about, a 10 to 15% decline. But by the time you add the inventory corrections, then the decline becomes larger for people like us. So large ag is seeing that. Small ag, since the inventory and all is behind, the market is still slow. It's like a... it's between 5 to 7% lower than last year. But having said that, last year had all these inventory corrections. Hence, compared to last year, we are better off despite the end market being slower. If you look at the aftermarket, there we saw about a 30% reduction in FY24, and now we are actually seeing a growth. So each segment is behaving differently to some extent, and you know, and for most of our customers, they will give us a forecast going forward for about a year, but obviously that's a forecast by its very nature is a forecast and they change it, which is why the variation can happen in a short term. The way the order books changed on the large ag in the short term was fairly high, and I think the market reacted quickly. The customers reacted quickly, and you can notice that in the commentary of the customers. So we are seeing, you know, the end markets are not favorable just now, but this is the cyclical part. And as soon as we are outside of this cycle, then you will see the double stuff of filling the inventory as well as the growth. And so the long-term growth in the business will continue to be, the markets are growing at that 5-6%, and we tend to beat the market. So I think our long-term cycle will come back to what we indicated as our growth.
Thank you, sir. And sir, on the revenue mix side, currently we are largely on the OEM. So going forward, any target to change this revenue mix, or we will be continue on this path only?
I think in these two product platforms, I think the revenue mix will be similar. As we add more product platforms, there will be some differences, and we continue to look at those to essentially diversify the business model and get, you know, right now there are two platforms on which you're getting the bulk of the revenue. We are working on something on getting another platform robust. Longer term, we do believe with the third platform, you should be able to equalize into three different platforms with equal revenues. And then kind of bring in the fourth one at that stage. But the mix between aftermarket and OEM will be more dictated by the product platform. Right now, I think the OEM will continue to be the stronger one.
Thank you, sir. And sir, on the product side, are we planning any new launch, or it will be remain the same?
The new launches are all happening in the greater than 70 horsepower segment at this stage. I think that is where we are working, and some large, we've developed some new products for some large agricultural equipment. For bigger machines like feeders and planters and all that kind of stuff. But and then we are working on some new projects on the fabrication side of the platform. So there are some new projects going on over there, and we continue to see some good traction. On the PMP side, we are looking at some projects on some very, very large sized products. Right now, our product profile typically will go from products up till maybe about, you know, 15 to 20 kilos in weight. But we are looking at some others and a large one to expand the business where these would be even 80 to 100 kilos in size and some for some really, really big machines. So we've got some progress going on over there, and I think that's an area we're trying to expand horizontally within our customers.
Thank you, sir. And so just last question, on the geographical mix side, we're still very small in India. So are we targeting to increase it further, or we remain in this scenario?
That is definitely on our radar screen, looking at where India is headed. And, you know, from global markets, I think India is a market that at least for the next foreseeable future, we will expect to see more growth there than you see in the developed world. So clearly that's on our radar screen, and we are working on that.
Thank you, sir. And sir, on the growth side, still we have not any clarity. So if you can guide us on the same.
I think I mentioned already on the growth, at least is your question for this year or long-term growth?
This year, sir.
Okay. So for this year, like I said, already, you know, quarter one, two, and three are going to be more flattish. And then sequentially, but quarter four is where we will come back out fully. And for the full year, like I said, it could be flat to maybe minus 2-3% or something like that.
Okay, great. Thank you so much, sir.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you. To ask a question, you may press star and one. The next question is from the line of Chirag Folke from Ratnataraya Capital. Please go ahead.
Hi, good evening. Thank you so much for the opportunity. Am I audible, sir?
little faint, but yes.
Right. My question is actually just on the last year order wins, the projects and the new stuff that we were working on for the last 3 to 4 quarters, where we would have already made some headroom already last year. I'm not talking about the new stuff. Are they also getting delayed with softness in the market, or are you seeing things where you were close to finalization, or you know, you're getting pushed out? Is that also playing out?
Let me answer that a bit more specifically. So the big ones we were working on, you know, the project for, you know, where we had done this new project with Caterpillar, that stayed on track. In fact, that's even doing better than what we thought. So that part of the vehicle, even though the construction market is slow, that particular vehicle is doing well. So we are seeing significant good traction over there. Like I said, even on the aftermarket, the new customer we had taken in, we had some projections, and I think they're doing even better than that. The one which has gone a little bit slower is the one on our ATV, UTV three-point linkage, where it got launched, but based on the market feedback, we have to do some interventions in the market to see how to step up the visibility in the stores on that. So two of them are running really nicely. One is not running as fast as we would have thought. So that will take a little bit more time, but otherwise I think two big ones are running nicely.
Understood. I have two more questions, but the next one is just on the this quarter, which is largely confined to the large ag. The large ag was always a smaller part of our business, is my understanding. Please correct me if I'm wrong. And given that for the rest of the business, we are outside the inventory correction, and the end consumer demand so soft is not much weaker than last year. What is sort of still making us, you know, probably even go down a little bit from last year in terms of overall sales? Seems like a little bit of a discrepancy there. Maybe it's my understanding. Please help me understand that.
Vivek, you have the segmentation. Can you address that, please?
Yeah, but Chirag, I'm sorry, but your voice was not very clear to me. Do you mind?
I'll repeat that, Vivek. No worries. What I meant was that large ag was always a smaller part of our business, is what my understanding was, 18-20%. And given that the larger part of our business, which is the small AG turf part and the construction equipment, last year we already went through the inventory correction, we went through sort of softer demand again, and we've come out of that. What makes you feel that, you know, this year it's still going to be sort of slower than last year also, given that the larger part of our business is outside the correction? So probably there we should have gotten some advantage, and given that weighted average wise, it's larger. I would have thought, I'm guessing that I'm missing something here. There's something wrong in my understanding. I'm trying to understand what that is.
So here's where I've been thinking. So construction, which was about, you know, let's say 38-39% of our business, that is actually flat to minus single digit down for us just now. Low single digit. So that part is sitting there. If I look at the large ag, that used to form about 18-20% of our business, that even though the end market is down by about 10-12%, we are seeing almost a 20-25% reduction. So the impact, even though it's a small one, the impact over there is fairly large. And the small ag, it forms almost a good 30% of our business, but it's the inventory corrections are out, but the market is still slow, so we are better off than last year slightly, but it's not driving it enough at the moment. The aftermarket is the one where we are actually seeing significant jump up, which used to be 16-17% of our business, and there, because inventory corrections are gone and everything is gone, so we are actually seeing like possibly go up to a 20% growth in that segment.
Understood, sir. I guess just to summarize what you said and make sure that my understanding is correct, what you're saying is essentially construction equipment or the precision machine parts, that segment, instead of sort of a high single digit, double digit sort of growth, is probably flat to decline.
Yeah, see, that's become a flattish one, so it's not allowing me to pull everything up, if you know what I mean, right? So that's where I'm coming from. So that's why the answer is a little bit more nuanced. it's a, you know, it's this situation is a little strange because I haven't seen a confluence that close to this. Typically, what did we do? We went into the ag business and then we were in the construction business to take care of cyclicality. But the normal cycle would have been 4 or 5 years for the ag business, then another 4 or 5 years for the construction business. And you typically would have seen then the whole diversification and risk mitigation strategy was that both these don't happen together, right? Because then it becomes the problem. The large ag and construction coming almost back to back is, I think, causing me a bit of an issue just now. Even though the small ag is behind me and that came 1.5, 2 years earlier, so you should see the small ag, like I said, as soon as the interest rate changes, the small ag will be out of it and you'll go into the growth mode instantly. To me, the construction equipment, frankly, is also two different things. If I look at all the stuff for the mining equipment and oil and gas capex equipment, you know, if you expect a little bit of a slowdown in the global economy and you expect commodities to slow down, then that may slow down. But I do believe our exposure is more on the smaller equipment and hence the housing market is more important to us. The moment the interest rate changes occur, I think you may see that change. So I believe the interest rate change can probably change the picture in the short term on the construction and small ag business part for us, which actually is close to about 60-65% of our business.
Understood. I'm going to squeeze in one last question. Just on a longer term basis, right, if you look at our end markets and they grow mid-single digit on, is our expectation that across cycle averages, say 3 to 5 year figures, our expectation is to beat that by 300 basis points, 200 basis points. I would love to know your opinion on that side, sir.
No, I think our expectation on this is to the markets are going to be, you know, 5 to 6% growth go forward. We are looking at growth by longer term. This thing is to stay at about a 15 to 16% growth. So we expect to beat it by a significant larger number, but it won't be just by increased market share, it's by adding more product as well. So it's not just getting more market share of a certain thing, but it's also getting new product platforms into the portfolio.
Got it, sir. An example of that would be the large ag developments that are going on right now.
See, that's what I'm saying. The large ag is going on and there's some work going on some other platforms as well. So, and I think the moment that comes through, I think it should be a different picture.
Understood. Thank you so much. All the best, sir.
Okay.
The next question is from the line of Kushi Kabra from Pegasus Growth. Please go ahead.
Hi. I was wondering, since there's a growth slowdown and a fall in revenues, are there any cost-cutting measures that have been implemented so far?
Absolutely, Kushi. All across, that standard operating procedure. I think we make sure that all those. So even if you look at it, at the end of the day, we are normalized on a 20% EBITDA company. But if you look at the kind of reduction, I'm still guiding for an 18%, and I'm still maintaining my long term 20%. So short term, whatever we could cut, we've obviously cut. But there is a certain operating deleverage that does come into play, Kushi, which you can't do anything about, right? So all or anything that can be done, rest assured the team has executed it.
Okay, got it. And in terms of dividends, last year a couple of interim dividends were announced, and I know you guys announced the dividend today as well. Can we expect the same trend as last year for the rest of this year?
Yeah, the dividend policy hasn't changed, and I think we've been outbeating our dividend payouts. The cash generation seems to be good. Obviously, my first situation is we are sitting on a lot of cash. I think Vivek mentioned we are net cash surplus at 154 crores as of end of June, and we continue to create more cash. So obviously my first situation is to deploy it for growth, which I'm working on. But despite that, I think we have enough to serve as good dividends as well. So I expect to do good dividends and drive growth. The balance sheet is in good shape for that.
Okay. Okay, perfect. Thank you, everybody.
Mm-hmm. Thank you. Participants who wish to ask a question may press star and one. The next question is from the line of Mayur Awasthi, an individual investor. Please go ahead.
Hello, is it audible?
Yes,
it is, Mayur.
Yes, good evening, sir. And my question is regarding in the previous year, as the dividend was given, the same will be continuing, which was just asked in the previous, was the previous question. And adding to that, I mean, like from the time of listing, of the share, and from there, from the listing time, it has been, nothing is there for the individual investors, because we are just holding on to the share and it is getting depreciated. I do understand you're facing some growth issues and all, but if you just, if you're not in a capacity to retain your earnings, you can try for some buybacks and all, so that the share price get, appreciated in that way.
Mayur, we look at all situations. I think my number one priority is to use the deploy the cash for growth. I think that's by far what we want to be able to do. If we are unable to do that for whatever reason and I can't deploy it, then definitely we will look at how we reward the shareholders with dividends or buybacks. But my number one priority is growth, Mayur.
Okay, understanding. And quarter on quarter, how the standalone revenues are also got declined, but at least the consistency will be 10-15% growth in revenue in the coming quarters for FY25?
Not in these quarters. Like I said, this year is going to be flat to slightly lower compared to last year. But longer term, if you go through the cycles, then I'm looking at that 15% growth. We are frankly looking at the bottom of it just now. At least I'm hoping, because, like I said, small ag is already, at the bottom and probably should come out now. Large ag probably may take about a year to come out or so. Construction, let's see if the interest rate changes my housing market and how deep a decline. Right now it's like it's not that big, and depends on what happens with the interest rates and if that market comes back. The aftermarket is already coming back. So to me, like I said, the de-risking of the model was, hey, ag and construction, if there was a 2-3 year gap, we don't see that problem and we run normalized growth. Both of them coming close on their heels is actually causing a bit of a pressure, but the team has reacted by good cost cutting, still maintaining, reasonable margins. And as soon as the cycle picks up, and if all the cycles pick up nicely, then I think we will have a catch-up act coming in pretty in the near future then.
Thank you, sir.
Thank you. A reminder to all participants that you may press star and one to ask a question. The next question is from the line of Madhur Rathi from Counter Cyclical Investments. Please go ahead.
Hi. Thank you for the opportunity, sir. Sir, I understand that we expect to grow at a 15%, 16% kind of revenue growth for a longer term. And we have guided for going into different product segments. So, sir, if you could just quantify the products that in our pipeline as well as we expect to enter, what kind of addressable market would these have? And so, on that front.
Vivek, can you take that? We have the addressable market from the earlier time with the hydraulics. I think it was over a billion. Go ahead, Vivek. You take that.
Yeah. So the existing product verticals, which are frequent linkage and PMP, together are close to 1 billion, wherein obviously our penetration in small tractors is high, market share of close to 25% or so. But our market share on the large tractor is low, high single digit. So that is the part where it has been there. PMP, as Paramjit sir mentioned, that some of the larger equipment are having a lot of headroom for us to grow with the larger products. Hydraulics is a very, very large kind of market. wherein opportunities are humongous. Obviously we are starting with a certain type of product, but as you know, we gain traction, the headroom over there is quite large. Aftermarket again is unmapped. It is not formally mapped, but aftermarket for agriculture and these kind of implements is also pretty large. Could be in the region of 150 million-200 million or maybe upwards of that. That is where also there is ample headroom with all the partnerships that we have with large retail, organized retail chains. Last but not the least, the fabrication and the implements market is also very large. Again, not formally mapped, but probably as big or bigger than the 3-point engine market.
Okay, sir. Sir, just a clarification, sir. This 1 billion market size for 3-point linkage, we mentioned that 25% is our share in small tractors. What percentage of the market would be catering to small tractor versus the large tractors?
Close to half and half. In value terms, 3-point linkage value terms, close to half and half. Although in terms of number of tractors, the small tractors are close to 75%-80% of the market in terms of number of tractors, while large tractors are close to 20%-25% of the market only. Since they are large, they are very high in value. In value terms, the 3-point linkage comes out to be half and half divided between the two.
Okay, sir. That was helpful. Sir, just a final question. So we have guided of going into different product segments. How do we expect to enter a new market? Is it based on if the market is fragmented where we can enter and create a market share for ourselves, like in 3-point linkage? Or is it based on the customer demand, wherever there is a white space or a gap, we jump in and try to take away the market share from the existing vendors? That would be helpful.
Typically, we have multiple things that are going on. We already have great relationships. See, if you look at the top 10 agricultural companies of the world, all of them are our customers, and five of the top 10 construction equipment companies outside China are our customers. Part of the strategy is to continue to do more products within these existing customers, and we keep following them. For example, when they are going to Mexico, now we're going to go into Mexico to support them, and that gives us opportunity. One is growth within our existing customers. The other is actually going in and within these customers also, we've had a strategy of extending our system boundaries. Essentially, if we are selling them a certain product, we look at what is the product sitting next to it and whether it fits in our core competencies or we can build those core competencies. Hence, we try to go into those. Hydraulics and fabrication and PTO are all related to that strategy of extending our system boundaries. Since in this market, unlike the automobile market, the number of vehicles are not large, our strategy is to do more value per vehicle. Essentially, we've got the access, we're delivering the last mile, and then we leverage what we call as our global delivery model at the end of the day, where we believe we've created a certain uniqueness in this with our ability to do offshoring, our ability to do global shoring, our ability to now add a situation on nearshoring. I think our ability to offer these different solutions to customers in different geographies, I think that is the driver for our growth. Obviously, the engineering competencies and product competencies exist, but I think it's the access to the market and how we expand into different segments.
Thank you, sir. That makes sense. All the best.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Gaurav Garg, an individual investor. Please go ahead.
Yeah. Good evening, sir. I'm a small shareholder, and I have a very good hope with the organization and trust as well. Sir, I have two queries. First one on the utilization, capacity utilization front. Under each segment, what kind of capacity utilization of the facilities and manufacturing activity? Second query is about the will it be will we be beneficiary under the rate cut as a on the revenue front as well as on the raw material front?
Hi. So to your first question, the capacity utilization overall is in the range of 55% to 60% currently. It is not product specific. Pretty much all our factories except the US one, which produces only PMP, all our India factories produce both 3PL and PMP, and many of the processes are common, like the heat treatment, the painting and plating, even machining, welding are used for both. So there is no specified or dedicated capacity for any product. So we look at it more holistically, and that's the capacity utilization range we are currently operating at.
Thank you, sir. And second query about if the rate cut happens in the US or in the European country, so it will be any growth driver for us?
Absolutely, Gaurav, because like I said, see, the small tractor in the US is not a farming tractor, it's more a consumer product. And so we do expect that as soon as, you know, the consumer sentiment in the US is while it's strong on this, let's say the small dollar ticket items, if somebody is spending $10,000-$15,000 on a piece of equipment, I think that I think consumers have tightened up. The moment the interest rate change occurs, I think you will see a change in cycle over there. And that's the same for the home building, even though it's held reasonably strong. But clearly, you know, with high mortgage rates, it depresses the market. And the moment the mortgage rates are lower, I think the U.S. housing will see a significant upturn. So interest rates definitely will have a huge impact on the construction equipment as well as the small tractor market in the U.S. And those are big segments for us. So clearly that affects us. On the cost side, I'm not... You know, we are net debt free in any case. We are sitting on a lot of cash just now. So interest cost is not something that we worry as a company. So.
And sir, will it give any edge on the purchasing side, this interest rate cut?
I'm not sure because I think that the purchasing side, our large consumption is essentially steel, and I think steel being a commodity, if you see a trend of a slowdown in commodity prices, then obviously you will see a reduction in prices over there. But other than that, and this is again so different, you know, I mean, it's India is obviously going to be on a growth path for that. So I think Indian steel consumption is still expect to see going up. China will possibly slow down. The U.S., you know, people say it may slow down. I'm not a believer of it, but to me, that is more commodity price driven rather than anything else for us. But irrespective, even if the raw material prices go up or down, we have agreements with customers to recover it or to give it back. So we are really insulated from that.
Okay, sir. Thank you, sir. All the best.
Thank you. As there are no further questions from the participants, I would now like to hand the conference over to the management for their closing comments.
Yes, thank you. So, thanks everyone. So, with this, and thank you for all the good questions and all your support during these, and we continue to be able to do, you know, to bring the growth back into the business, and we're looking at markets to do that. So, in the meantime, we continue to focus on strengthening our customer relationships, leverage our core capabilities to partners, our customers, and in the journey of success. Our focus and efforts are completely aligned towards achieving the targeted growth in the coming years. And so with this, thank you all for taking time out for today's call. Have a great day. Thanks.
On behalf of Go India Advisors, that concludes this conference. Thank you for joining us, and you may now disconnect your lines. Thank you.